All right. Well, good morning again. Thanks for making out here. Hopefully you didn't stop by the school on the way here, but it's good to be together, whether we're at a school, in a park, anywhere. And I love that. That's a really good reminder, just that our lives would be hallelujahs. We often think I'm going to church to worship, but man, that's the heart of worship, is that life is worship, that we would live our lives as hallelujahs to his name. If you have a copy of God's Word, and we have extras in the middle back there if you don't have a Bible, but we're going to be in Proverbs, and we're going to be in Luke a little bit too, so you can actually, if you want to, open up to Luke chapter 10. We're going to start there this morning. We've been in Proverbs studying, you know, what does God have to say, and he has a lot to say about life, and really wisdom is walking close to him and walking in his ways, and so he has a lot to say about all of life. And last week we talked about being a good friend. You know, a lot of times we want to find a good friend, but really that reminder is we need to be a good friend. And God has so much to say about being a good friend. And I thought today we could talk about being a good neighbor. You know, God has a lot to say in Proverbs about being a good neighbor. And I thought it'd be fun today, we're out here in the neighborhood, to talk about what does it look like to be a good neighbor? Who knows the song, you know, the little jingle, State Farm, Like a Good Neighbor? There we go. Everybody knows it. And I looked it up this week. I thought it was really cool. It was originally written by Barry Manilow. I was like, whoa, 1971. And isn't that crazy? Like, how many songs do we know from 1971? But he wrote that little jingle. He got $500 for it, which I bet back then, 1971, you could probably buy a house for that, right? Well, maybe not that far, but like, that was a lot of money back then. But I thought it was interesting. He didn't get like royalties to it for it. He isn't really well known. It's just a $500 flat check. So every time everyone sings that or every commercial, he doesn't get a dime from it. But I think he's doing okay. But yeah, what does it mean, though? Because like, that's their thing. Like, they want to be like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. The idea is that they want to be there like a good neighbor would. And that's like what we think about when we think of a good neighbor. Like, they're there for you, right? And so I want you to start thinking, okay, what does it mean to be a good neighbor? What does it look like? And really, it kind of starts with the question, and that's why I said let's start in Luke, because Jesus actually answered the question, who is my neighbor? And you might be thinking, okay, it's the person that lives right next to me or the right across from me. It's the person in my neighborhood. Who is my neighbor? And you know, they thought a lot about that in the Old Testament, because that was a really important commandment. In fact, it was well known by Jesus' day, like that was the second greatest commandment. In fact, Jesus says, like, if you could summarize the whole law with two commandments, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then he says the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And in fact, in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus kind of asks this guy that comes up to him, there's a lawyer that comes up to him in chapter 10 of Luke. I'm saying, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus kind of throws it back on him. Jesus is really good at asking questions. And he says, well, chapter 10, verse 26, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Basically, like, what do you think the law is all about? And look what he says. Like, he had the same understanding Jesus had in Matthew 22. This lawyer said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Okay, like, that's what it's all about. Do this and you will live. Like, in the Old Testament, they knew that it was a really, really important to love my neighbor. And notice he didn't say, like, love your neighbor, period. Like, love your neighbor as yourself. Because there's a difference. Like, I would love you a different way than I would love myself. Like, I really treat myself well, right? I look out for myself. I really make sure that I'm taken care of. And Jesus says, you need to love your neighbor that same way. And in fact, it goes back to, and I put it on as a memory verse, Leviticus 19, 18. That's where this great commandment came from. It says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. And so this lawyer, you know, he came up to Jesus trying to prove how good he was. So he's not satisfied with that. And he says, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So he asks Jesus, like, who's my neighbor? Because he thinks, like, I've done it all. Like, I'm sure he's going to give an answer that I've already done. And you might know the story that Jesus tells. He tells a parable, and Jesus tells this parable about, we call it the Good Samaritan. I think a better title maybe would be the Compassionate Samaritan, because look what happens. Says Jesus, this is really to answer that question, who's my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came down to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. All right, right now we can already start to get, what is Jesus getting at? So this guy is going on a really common route between Jerusalem and Jericho, and there's often danger there. He's doing it alone, which isn't probably the best for robbers, okay? And so he's taken advantage of, he's beaten, stripped, left half dead. So he's just sitting there. And it's really interesting when two men pass by, and Jesus specifically has intent here, right? He chooses a priest and a Levite. Okay, what do you think those mean? Maybe in today's time, maybe it'd be a pastor, right? These were guys that were like servants of the Lord. Like that was their job. The priest was full-time like serving God in the temple. Levi assisted, helped in the temple. And so these are guys like you would expect out of all people. They love God, right? They serve God all the time. They're going to be the ones, they're like the heroes of the story, right? And so they both see this man in need, okay? So I want you to start thinking. He's answering this question, who's my neighbor? Well, obviously, right from the get-go, there's this man who's in need, right? Okay? And notice, they don't know him. And so oftentimes we think, well, my neighbor's somebody I know, right? And they're probably like him. They're probably Jews like him. We know that they would be. We don't know who this guy is. I think it's kind of nameless. You don't really get any details. It could be anyone, right? We really don't know. He's just a man in need, okay? And the shocking thing is, what do they do when they see it? And I think that's the key, is like when they see, what do? It says they both saw him, and they don't just leave him, right? They pass by on the other side. Like they see this man in need, and they say, like, no way, I'm not getting anywhere close to that. And they walk on the other side. Like as far away as possible. And we don't really know why they do that. We can imagine there's probably a lot of good reasons. This might be a setup, you know. There's this guy, okay, maybe they're tricking him to get them into this situation. I don't want to be that person who's beaten down, left stripped naked, dead on the road either. And so thinking like this might endanger me. It might be like this might cost me something, right? If I take him, it's going to slow me down. I might put myself in danger on the road. There's all those different things that might be going through your mind. But what basically is saying is, I see a need, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. For a Levite and a priest, if this man is dead, it would make them ceremonially unclean. And so maybe they're thinking like, man, if he's dead, I have to get really close to find out. And if he is, then it's going to make me go through all these rules and regulations process to become clean again. Basically, the idea is like, man, I don't want to do anything that would cost me anything for this man. And then Jesus comes to this other man, and of course we would think, like, oh wait, there's no way this guy would help him because this is a Samaritan, right? And Jesus is doing this intentionally. The two people you would think would be most likely, like spiritual leaders, right? As servants of God. And then a Samaritan, what is a Samaritan? Samaritan in Jesus' day represented those who the Jews thought were unworthy of God's love. Like they had intermixed with different religions and different cultures. They really had not remained pure to God. And so Jews thought they were worthless. Like they hated them even more than foreigners. They really had they despised them. They hated Samaritans. And so when Jesus just says the word Samaritan, you can probably just hear the crowd go, oh, or boo. Like Jesus says, there's a Samaritan that comes upon him. Verse 33 says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. When he saw him, right, saw him. That's the key. Each sees him. Look what it says. He had compassion. And again, Jesus is answering the question, who is my neighbor? He sees him. He has compassion. Not just has compassion. It says he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day, so this isn't just like day one. This is like a process. This guy is giving up his time for this man. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay for when I come back. So he's committing money. He's committing time. He's endangering himself. All those things that others weren't willing to do, he's giving of himself. And look what Jesus says. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? Like we can say, like, yeah, I'm a neighbor. I'm a good neighbor. Jesus says, well, okay, who proved it? And this lawyer can't even say his name. He can't say, okay, the Samaritan. He says, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. All right, what's Jesus saying? He's teaching us an important lesson. Okay, this is a parable to say, who is my neighbor? And the answer really, it could be anyone, right? Anyone that comes into your path, and specifically what Jesus says, like anyone who has a need. This man is a man in need. Jesus sees this man in need, and this question is, the neighbor, who is my neighbor? It's someone who comes into your path who's in need. And Jesus actually answers a second question, which the guy didn't even ask. How do we love our neighbors? Well, this guy, how did he do it? He showed him compassion and mercy. Like he sacrificed, he gave of his time, gave of his money. He was willing to love him like he would want to be loved, right? Because think about it, okay, you're the priest. What would you want if you were lying dead, half dead on the side of the road? If you're that Levi, how would you want to be treated? Would you want the other person to walk by the other side, leave you lying there in your own blood and just left for robbers? No, none of us would say, like, you know what? If I was in that situation, I would love to be treated like that priest. I would love to be treated like that Levi treated me. Like, no one would say that. All of us would say, like, I would want to be treated like the Samaritan treated him. The question is, are we willing to be that person? Are we willing to be the neighbor? We all would love to have a good neighbor, but today I want to ask you, like, can you love your neighbor as yourself? Like the way you would want to be loved? And the answer really is, how do we do that? Compassion and mercy. Okay? So I want you to be thinking, like, who is my neighbor? It might be your next door neighbor. It might be the next door neighbor in your house, maybe your sister. It might be the person you're going to walk to today up at Walmart. In the parking lot. It could be a coworker. Like, really, the idea is, like, anyone that comes into your path, when there is a need, when you see someone, what comes into your mind? Do you think, like, man, what will that cost me? I don't want to have anything to do with it. Or do you say, like, how would I want to be treated? And does compassion, does mercy come into your heart and into your mind, into your eyes, and then into your action? So as we look at just a few different Proverbs today, I love these Proverbs because they really hit kind of around that same theme. It's really cool how God's word works. Proverbs is going to be talking about how to treat your neighbor. And what we're going to see is it really has to do with treating everybody like we would want to be treated, showing compassion, showing mercy, really loving like we would want to be loved. Okay, so first thing I want to see is in Proverbs 11, 9 through 13. So if you have a Bible, you can go to Proverbs chapter 11. And the first thing I see is a lot of it has to do with our words, okay? Obviously with the Good Samaritan, a lot of it was actions, right? But oftentimes it starts with our words. Like, how do we use our words? In Proverbs 11, 9, it says, with his mouth, okay? So with his mouth. This is speaking, this is with his words. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. Okay, just stopping at verse 9, he makes a really, really good point. Godless, we don't want to have anything to do with it. This is like the opposite of what we want to be. So what is like the opposite of what we would do? We would destroy our neighbor. And it's interesting, like, oftentimes we don't think of our words as really that powerful, okay? That word destruction, like destroy his neighbor, is the same word in Genesis used of what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, is that a pretty big thing, like what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah? Like raining down fire and brimstone, like that's a huge destructive act. But oftentimes we think of our words, oh, they're not really that big deal, right? Words, okay, get over it. It's not that big a deal. My words really aren't that important. If I saw my neighbor and he was out with his other neighbor, like beating him up, I'd be like, whoa, what in the world? If he had a knife and killed him, I'd be like, man, this is a huge thing. Like all of us would think like physical harm, that is a big deal. Like you need to go to jail. You need to be paid back for that, right? But we think like words really aren't that big a deal. It's interesting, the words we're going to see in a few different Proverbs that God uses to remind us how big our words are. He says a godless man destroys his neighbor with his words. And I want you to think, like, do you really treat words as having that much weight? Like, how do you talk to that coworker? How do you talk to the neighbor across the fence? How do you talk to the person, not just your friends, right? We treat our friends nice. How do you treat the person at Walmart? We're frustrated and you can't find what you want to do, what you want to find, and you're like, oh my goodness, and just comes out this hurtful word. And I think what we often say, you know, that the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Like, that's one of the worst sayings ever, like the most not true statements. Like, if you do like top 10 things that aren't true, because I guarantee you, if you think like, what is one of your most hurtful experiences from when you were young? I bet you think of something that someone said, right? Like, those things stick with you. Like, me and my brothers, we would beat each other up, but I'm fine from it now. It's those words, right? Words that I said or they said, those words that someone said to you that stick with you for years and years. Words hurt. And it reminds us, you know, a godless man would destroy his neighbor with his mouth. You know, a lot of times how we do that is explained in verses 12 and 13. It says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps things covered. And so belittling, you know, that's talking down. That's really treating someone like they're worthless. And oftentimes we do that with our words, right? Do you talk down to somebody? Do you belittle somebody? It often is that idea of pushing them down, making fun of them to make ourselves feel better. We push ourselves up by pushing others down. What words have you spoken this week or last week? Maybe to a friend, maybe to a neighbor that belittled them, that made fun of them, that hurt them. Slander is just, you know, the community gossip, tells bad things about others that might or might not be true. They love to share secrets. They destroy others with their words. So how you been treating your neighbors with your words? You know, the first solution, I love it in these two verses. It says the counter to that is stop, right? Like if you've been doing that, don't do it anymore. I love it. It says, whoever belittles his neighbors lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. You know, just that old saying, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? There's a lot of times when I would love to say something and it's not nice, it's slander, it's belittle. If I can just stop, that's half the battle, right? Just not hurting, not destroying is half the battle. And the next verse, he says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Have you ever had something really juicy to share and you really want to share it? Don't share it, right? Like that's just simple, right? So the first step is don't do it. But the second is to remember that you have a lot of power. Like you can destroy people, but you can also use your words for something else. Like really being a neighbor is loving your neighbor like you would want to be loved. How would you want others to use their words with you? In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruits. Okay? So yeah, you can kill somebody with your words. You can stab someone in the back with your words. You can destroy them with your words. But you can also speak life. Okay? Again, you don't want to lie. You don't want to make something else. There's another reminder in Proverbs 29:5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. You know, you don't want to just make stuff up or you don't want to do something with wrong motives. Just like flatter them. He's like, don't do that. But like find something good to say. Like, is there anything encouraging you can say? I love in the New Testament, Ephesians 4:29, just remember what your words are. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. It's like when you're thinking, man, I really want to hurt somebody with my words, say like, stop. And then maybe say, like, is there anything good I can say? Maybe there's nothing, and you just need to be silent. But think, is there anything that could be good for building up? Is there anything that fits this occasion that can give grace to those who hear? I have power right now to destroy, but I also have power to speak life. And so choose to speak life. You know, a lot of it comes down to is what do people know us for? Maybe your neighbors know you as an old grumpy person that only loves to destroy with their words. Right in the middle of this in chapter 11, sandwiched in between these two reminders, is verses 10 and 11. It says, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. But when the wicked perish, there is shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked is overthrown. Like, a lot of your reputation comes down to your neighbors, right? What do they think about you? And it says, when the wicked are destroyed, everyone's happy. But when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. Like, what it's saying there is what people think about you really matters, okay? And so what do people think when they think of you? And what it often comes down to is your words. Are you known as an encourager, someone who is loving with their words, who speaks life, or someone who speaks death? Proverbs 25:18 says this, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. Okay, so oftentimes one of the ways we do it with our words isn't just being mean. It isn't just talking down, it's lying. Is that something you struggle with? And notice the words, again, he uses. Someone who bears false witness against his neighbor, Proverbs 25:18, is like a war club. Like, it's a big deal. A war club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. Proverbs 26:18-19, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. And how many times have I done that? How many times have you done that where you said something really, really hurtful or something deceptive, and you're like, hey, can't you just take it? It's just a joke. He's like, guys, that's not a joke. Even if it was a joke, you just threw an arrow at them. You just threw a firebrand at them. And then if you don't get the picture yet, you threw death at them. That's what he says. Like, it's he who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Like, you just threw death at that person. He said it's a joke. Like, you really, really need to be careful. I need to be careful. Loving my neighbor as myself is using my words to speak life, not speak death. Something else we see in Proverbs is loving our neighbor means loving every neighbor, right? A lot of times, just like friendships, we love those who love us, right? We have different people like, man, I'll be really nice to them, but that person I don't know about. And when it comes to neighbors, it's the same way. Like, yeah, I love that neighbor. Ooh, I don't know about that neighbor. And is there anybody in your life where you're like, I don't think they deserve my love? And we don't say it out loud because that sounds really bad. But, like, practically, do you live that way? Like, do you treat every neighbor as yourself? Or is it just some neighbors and there's some like, nope, I'm not going to treat them like myself? Is there anybody in your book that's like, that kind of neighbor doesn't deserve my love? In Proverbs 14:20-21, it's interesting. Look at those two verses together. The first one kind of says, like, just how life is. It says, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends, okay? And he's not saying, like, that's how we should be. He's just like, that's how it is. And that's reality, right? God knows how people work. And what he says is, like, if you have a bunch of money, there are probably going to be a lot of people around you. Why? Because you have something to give them. But if you are poor, like, even your neighbors hate you. Why is that? Why is life like that? It's because they know that you need something from them. Right? And the reality is we often treat people differently based on what they can give us. And so, like, if you're rich, yeah, I'll be your friend. I'll treat you nice. If you're poor, nope, I'm out of here. But then I love how he compliments it. The next verse is like, this is how it should be. Okay, that's how life is. That's how most people live. The poor, they run from. The rich, they run to. But, like, what about us? And verse 21 says, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. You notice that? Like, he says, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. That word despise is whoever looks on with contempt, like treats them as if they are worthless. And what Jesus, or what God is saying in this proverb is like, don't do it. Like, that is wrong. If you do that to your neighbor, and he doesn't say like the bad neighbors, the good neighbors, they're like his neighbor. And what it means is like whoever that neighbor is, whether they're a nice neighbor or a bad neighbor, a rich neighbor or a poor neighbor, a great smelling neighbor or a stinky smelling neighbor, right? And you can fill in the blank. It's like whoever treats his neighbor with contempt, who despises. And the really what it means is like treat them worse than you would treat somebody else. Treat them as if they're worthless. Really don't love them as if you'd love yourself. And I want you to think, like, is there anybody in your life, maybe it's someone who doesn't think like you, someone who doesn't act like you, someone who doesn't dress like you, who doesn't have the same color skin as you. Like, is there any neighbor who you despise? Really, is there anyone who you despise? You treat them as unworthy of God's love. And then maybe that's the thing we need to stop doing. Stop treating them partially, right? Loving one but not loving the other. Treat them all as worthy of God's love. But then here's the positive. The second half of the verse says, blessed is he who is generous to the poor, right? Remember, we just talked about the poor. They're the ones that have nothing to offer us, who even as friends run away. God says, hey, be generous to them if you want to be blessed. And so really the poor, that's someone who has nothing to offer me, right? Who really a lot of people would look down upon, who really can't give me anything. God says, love them, be generous to them, be kind to them, and find, search them out, and be blessed by being generous to them. So I want you to think, like, who in my life is that person who can't give me anything? Like, I don't expect anything in return, and I'm going to love that person as myself. Or maybe at school, like, who is the kid that everyone despises? Like, he doesn't have any friends. Like, that might be the neighbor Jesus is talking about in the Good Samaritan story, where they're the one in need. They're the one that everyone else despises, and they need a friend. That's how you can love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, Jesus says this. I love this. In Luke 14, 12 through 14, he says, he said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return. Isn't that interesting? And you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Jesus is saying exactly what he said in the book of Proverbs. Love those, be generous to those who can't do anything for you. In fact, won't do anything. That is true blessing in God's book. That is how you love your neighbor as yourself. So who is that for you? Who's the poor? Who's the crippled? Who's the lame? Who's the blind? And how can you love them as yourself? Maybe it's even your enemy, right? Is there a neighbor maybe that hates you? Is there a person at school that hates you? A person at work that hates you? Jesus says it like this in Matthew 5:43. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. You may be blessed as sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is saying the same thing. You get a theme here. Like, love those, doesn't matter how they treat you, doesn't matter who they are or what they can do for you. Love your neighbor, whoever your neighbor is, as yourself. Who can you love today? Even if they don't deserve it, even if they hate you, maybe it's a person who's overlooked or despised by others. I have two last things, and these are kind of fun. It's really interesting. These proverbs are so cool. Man, maybe this one hits the nail on the head. Maybe you've been like this. The idea is we want to be a blessing, not a curse to our neighbors. Proverbs 25:17. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Like, man, isn't that life like that, right? You can overstay your welcome sometimes, right? And maybe you're like the neighbor that's always over at your neighbor's house. And I don't think it's bad to be at your neighbor's house, but the point is they're like, maybe you're always at your neighbor's house and he just wants to have some time alone. Or maybe he has some jobs to do, or maybe some lawn to mow. And if you're always there, always needing him for something, like he can get tired of you, right? And life is like that. And the idea behind it is like, I want to be a blessing to my neighbor, not a curse. I don't want him to be like begging for me to leave in his mind, or just hoping like, man, I can't count down the seconds till he's gone. I want him to be like, man, I hope he's over here more, right? I hope like he would do this for me. Like we want to be the person when they think of us that they're not like, man, he's here again. We want to be the person that's like, yeah, oh, right, he's here again. Okay, so be a blessing, not a curse. Proverbs 27:14 kind of gives a similar theme. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing, right? Like if you go over at like 5 in the morning and honk the horn in front of your neighbor's house, they're going to like, man, I hate him. Ugh. Like we want to be a blessing. We don't want when they think about us or when they see us be like, oh. Like here's the thing, like when your neighbors, when your friends, when your coworkers, when your schoolmates, when the people in and above around our lives see us, they think like, oh, or they think like, man, wow, that's awesome. We want them to think, man, I want more of them, not less of them. Okay, so be a blessing, not a curse. And then this last one kind of starts right where we began. It ends where we began. We can love our neighbors by showing them compassion and mercy. Right? Like, how do you love your neighbor as yourself? You show them compassion. You show them mercy. I love this. It shows us a negative side. Proverbs 21:10. It says, the soul of the wicked. Okay, so this is not who we want to be. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes. And I thought that was really interesting, like, how it used the term in his eyes. And a lot of times, like, we might say, like, yeah, I'm a good neighbor, or we can say it. But really, what do they see when they look in our eyes? And what did the guy half dead on the road see when he saw the Levite, when he saw the priest? He saw no mercy in their eyes. And when the Samaritan came up, the first thing he saw compassion. And so I don't want to be the person that when my neighbor sees me, he finds no mercy in his eyes. Like no mercy that he would see in my eyes. And I know you don't want that to be about what your neighbors see in your eyes. When they see you, they know. They just see it in your eyes. Man, there's compassion. There's mercy. What do people see when they look in your eyes? Proverbs 24:28 and 29 is an interesting one. It says, be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive your neighbor with your lips. Okay, so the first part, don't be a witness against your neighbor without cause. Like, don't show up in court, like, for no reason and say something bad about them. Like, and we're thinking, like, okay, why would we do that? Do not deceive your neighbor with your lips. Okay, why would we do that? Those are kind of no-brainers. We wouldn't do something evil against our neighbor. Well, we get kind of the answer in the next verse. In 29, it says, do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay back the man for what he has done. Why would we do something that we would never do, like lie and deceive, do something hurtful? Well, that's what they did to me. And isn't that usually how life is? That's like the cycle of life, right? The neighbor that's really nice to me, I'm really nice back. The one who lets me borrow something, if he come and to ask for something, I'll let him borrow that. Why? Because that's what he did for me. But the guy who wouldn't let me borrow anything, no way, you're not getting anything from me. The one who gave me a grumpy look, I'm going to give him a grumpy look back, right? That's just how people are. And God says, man, may that not be the way we treat others. And so don't treat them how they treat you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Like we call it the golden rule. Jesus says it in Matthew 7:12. Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Again, Jesus says, like, this is what it's all about. This is the summation of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So whatever you would want them to do to you, do it to them. And so break that cycle. What neighbors usually do is, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. So how about this? Do to them what you would want them to do to you. Maybe even if they don't do it to you, or even if they do the opposite to them, to you. Do to them how you would want them to do to you. Show them compassion and show them mercy. All the way back in chapter 3 of Proverbs, it said, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, what is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll give it to you. When you have it with you, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Like, basically, like, it's pretty simple. Be a good neighbor, right? Maybe you get that jingle in your mind, like a good neighbor. I am there. Like, what would a good neighbor do? A good neighbor would use his words for life, not death. A good neighbor would speak life and encouragement, kindness. He wouldn't deceive. He wouldn't lie. He wouldn't be dishonest. He wouldn't slander. He'd be kind with his words. Well, be kind with your words. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. A good neighbor would be a blessing, not a curse. So be a blessing, not a curse. A good neighbor would have compassion, so have compassion. A good neighbor would have mercy, so have mercy. Really show people the love of Christ with how you treat them. A good neighbor would treat every neighbor, not just the rich, with compassion, not just the kind with compassion, everyone with compassion. So who's your neighbor? Who's the person in your orbit, kind of like, that you're going to come in contact with today, come in contact with this week? Who is your neighbor? Who is in need of God's mercy and God's compassion? How can you use your words and use your actions to show them the love of Christ? How can you be generous and kind to those who are needy and overlooked? How can you be a blessing, not a curse? How can you be good neighbor today? Let's pray. Lord, we want to be a good neighbor. Oftentimes we fall short, or we just don't know what to do. Sometimes we see a need and we think like, oh my goodness, I don't have the time, or I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, would you be our guide? We can't be everything to everybody. We can't do everything. But God, how can we do something? I do pray, Holy Spirit, that today you would bring us in contact with some neighbors. As we're out and about in the park today, later on this week, and help us to not be the neighbor that the world would see and say like, oh yeah, that's what I thought. The one who treats others how they treat them. The one who gossips, the one who slanders. God, help us to do what we can't do on our own. Love as you have first loved us. God, show us the actions. Show us the words. And help us to really, really be like that Good Samaritan who proved to be a neighbor. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.